This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Let me just say, I really appreciate the patience that this church has shown me while I've been recovering from sepsis. You've given me the time and space to get better, and I really, really appreciate that. So thank you very much. Some of the things that were slow to recover are things that I've always counted on. I have a pretty good memory most of the time, especially episodic memory. If you tell me something, I can usually remember it if my brain's not overloaded or tired. Now, if you tell me something on a Sunday morning, then I need to be able to remember on a Monday or a Tuesday. There is no universe where I'm going to remember that. Just that's a text me or email me scenario. I'm not going to remember it. But my memory has been very slow to come back. And so I've kind of felt the sense of panic if there's something I need to do about doing it immediately so I don't forget about it. The other thing that's been really slow is energy. I used to be able to do things for like 12 hours at a time. That's not my stamina anymore. And so now my energy has been coming back in short intervals, and sometimes I would think, I gotta get it all in before I crash, just in case there's no energy for it later. And here's what's lovely. If you do that, you overdo it, and then it takes you longer to recover from the crash. So mean. Right? Just so mean. And on the whole, I'd get a lot less done instead of more because I try to get it all in while I could, just in case. Right? If you know you can lose something, it makes you want to stockpile while you have it. Being afraid of loss keeps us from being generous or wise with what we have. The fear of scarcity keeps us from living in God's abundance and respecting the limitations that He's lovingly put on us. There's a truth in this passage that's a given, but it still throws us for a loop if we encounter it because we don't expect it. And denying it opens us up to real major doubt. And it's this: God will allow us to face real need. There will be times in life when you will face scarcity and you won't have the resources to fix it alone. It isn't because God fell asleep at the wheel. It may not be because you did anything you shouldn't have done. Sometimes God allows us to experience need that's no one's fault, and it isn't because He stops being in control. God allows us to need, sometimes to even desperately need. When everything is going well, when we have all that we need, we can forget how great God's grace really is, can't we? And so sometimes, not every time, but sometimes God allows us to need, even to need desperately, to remind us where our help comes from. Because God met our greatest need before we even saw it, we can trust Him with what we cannot see. But that doesn't mean that every experience of scarcity and need is because we need a lesson. We can still be responsible and wise and even faithful and experience loss and limitation. The next thing our passage tells us is past faithfulness does not protect us from present or future need. How annoying is that, right? Where does the widow begin her explanation of her predicament? My husband feared God. In other words, my family is in a mess and it's not our fault. Why did she start there? Because we have a tendency to respond to need with diagnosis instead of care. That's a very human impulse. I can't imagine how many theories this widow has heard about why God has allowed her to experience this poverty. It's the most human thing in the world to theorize why God would allow someone to experience this kind of lack when He has all the resources of heaven and earth at His disposal. We go through times of plenty that we don't deserve, and we go through times of want. And just as times of plenty don't mean that God is automatically pleased with what we do, times of scarcity don't automatically mean that He is displeased. Now, that's not satisfying at all, is it? It's certainly not comforting unless you've come to assume that every overwhelming obstacle or need must mean that we've done something wrong. And then you go on a sin hunt for a sin that may not be there. In that case, knowing that need often doesn't indicate sin could be very encouraging. Because it's one thing to experience need, it's another thing to experience condemnation. Edwin and I have experienced times when we thought, how are we going to get through this? Like, I don't see it. Like, how's it going to happen? And a few of those times, it wasn't because we were faithless. It was because we were faithful. It felt like God led us right into a trap. I can think of one time, right? And I can imagine that's exactly how this widow's feeling when she comes to Elisha for help. We did what God told us to do, and now my kids are about to be delivered into slavery. And maybe you've gone through a season like that. And as much as I hate to say this, sometimes the very best theology is stuff happens. Stuff just happens. Now, it should be noted, there are people who don't take responsibility for their stuff, and it's legitimately their stuff, right? But this sermon isn't about that. Because frankly, those problems are way easier to solve. If I made it, I can fix it. But it's the things that aren't in our control. The scarcity that comes up in spite of our responsibility and best behavior, that's what scares the mess out of me. Bad stuff, need, that we can't prevent by trying really hard and being responsible to do the right things. That is some scary stuff because there's nothing you can do to prepare for it. But here's the thing about getting into that fear cycle of what if we don't have enough later? Present fear does not reduce future need. Present fear does not reduce future need. You can't reduce the possibility of not having enough by fretting over things that may never happen. That fear will change how you behave today, but it won't prevent what you're fearing could happen tomorrow. If 5 years ago this widow had known that her husband was going to die, leave her destitute, and their creditor was going to threaten to take her sons into slavery, it would have ruined those 5 years, but it wouldn't have prevented this from coming. Wouldn't have done anything to protect her from this. They're in a mess, but being afraid wouldn't have fixed it. It just would have made those fruitful years that they could have enjoyed fearful years instead. There are a whole lot of people in the Bible whose bootstraps couldn't support their weight if they tried to pull themselves up by them. The Old Testament law was written for these people. They're the poor, the disabled, the widowed, the orphan. These aren't people who failed the plan. They're people who need God's grace and the grace of God's people in order to survive. That's where this widow is in this moment. There are situations in life that you can't plan for, that you can't prevent, and there's a reason Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, like Robert Falwell said a few minutes ago, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't take faithful steps today to plan for tomorrow. We should. If there's something you can do today to make tomorrow better, do it by all means. But in the time of Jesus and in the time of this widow, most people work today for food tonight. Today's work meant tonight's dinner. When Jesus says daily bread, he's not being metaphorical. He means today's bread. If you had a gap in work, it meant you had to borrow just to eat. These weren't people who bought multiple mansions and couldn't afford the upkeep or the taxes. Okay? These weren't people who tried a get-rich-quick scheme and lost everything. These are people who hit hard times and they needed help. And God is compassionate when his people need help. One of the biggest problems in our age, and oh gosh, this is very true to me. We are too aware of all the things that can go wrong. We don't need to know everybody's problem everywhere. You can't prepare for all of them, right? You can focus on a few problems at a time, but really, you cannot prevent every possible problem from coming to fruition. We know too much right now. And even though we're talking in financial terms right now, this isn't just financial. The widow isn't afraid of losing money. What is she afraid of losing? Her sons. Her sons. There are a lot of other ways that we can fear not having enough. If I make this move, will I be able to make new friends or find a new church? If I say the thing I know I need to say at work, will it cost me my job? Or maybe just the acceptance of my coworkers? Or one of my favorite ways scarcity tends to show up. I won't be able to do these things later, so I need to do them all now at a furious pace, because who knows when I won't be able to do it anymore. And all of those things are good desires. There's nothing sinful in any of them. I want to have good relationships. I want to have a place in my organization where I know I fit. I want to get things done while I still have time and ability to do them. What if I've run out of energy and time and there's more need than I can fill? There's nothing wrong in that desire. No one is selfish for wanting to protect those things. But it's when we assume that God won't be there to meet us with new grace, that we won't have enough because maybe God won't show up. That's when those good desires can reveal a lack of faith. There's really a sense of doubt that God may not be for me tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow's the day he stops being good or stops being on my side. Present fear doesn't fill tomorrow's lack. It just keeps us from trusting the one who can fill it. But the God who's been faithful will stay faithful in our need and through our need. Because God met our greatest need before we saw it, we can trust him with what we cannot see. Because God's grace doesn't change, it isn't limited by time and space. It's God's character to be faithful and gracious. God's grace covers the past, the present, and the future. He saw us when we couldn't save ourselves. He knew the widow would come to this moment long before she was born. Elisha was near enough to hear the need, and he had a solution. And it's a super weird solution. It's easy to forget how much we need God when we're in seasons of plenty, isn't it? We forget that we are weak and poor apart from Christ, that we can do nothing to save ourselves without God's grace reaching down to pull us up when we couldn't pull ourselves up. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we didn't know how needy we were, God saw our need and did something about it. Who comes up with this plan to fill the widow's emptiness? Go get a bunch of jars and start pouring the oil, and it's just going to keep on coming. It's like when Jesus breaks the bread to feed the 5,000 and it just keeps breaking. These are boring miracles. There's nothing spectacular in them. There's no magic words. It's just that it keeps coming. And in the breaking, there's multiplication. In the pouring out, there's filling up. He saw the need before we got to it, and he saw our empty become full before we knew how empty we even were. I have to wonder, did the widow get as many jars as she possibly could have? Did she regret that she didn't ask a few friends that she was afraid might judge her for the request? Because she just didn't know if it was going to pan out? Because she just couldn't know how good God was going to be in this moment? This is unpredictably good goodness. He always knew how many jars she needed. He always knew it would be enough to pay off her debt and for her to live off of until her sons became men. Jesus could feed 5,000 men, that's 15,000 people, and have enough for the 12 disciples when everyone was satisfied. She could pour out the oil and pay off her debt and support herself. God's grace isn't just enough. It's overflowing grace. It's always more than we think we need. And God's grace isn't just enough to forgive our past sin. It's enough to carry us into an unknown future. Jesus was a better sacrifice than we even thought to ask for. He wasn't the political warrior that the Pharisees and Sadducees expected. He wasn't the totalitarian conqueror that the zealots anticipated. He was better. He was a savior. We can be afraid of what we may not have in the future. That happens. Only God can prepare for what we will need in the future. How many things in your life have happened that you couldn't have seen coming? And how many of the fears that you've had never came to fruition? Yeah, that's never happened to our God. Not once. We don't hold the future. God does. So how we think about the future really does depend on what we think about God. Some of us are better at predicting the future than others. I tend to be a very futuristic person. I tend to dwell in the future as much as in the present. And I like to figure out what things should look like without seeing them. But that can work against me because there are things that I never saw coming that I could not have prepared for even if I had. I need a God who holds my past, my present, and my future because he's the only God who can hold the things I fear and the things I should fear but can't see coming. He paid for my sin 2,000 years before I was born to do the sinning. So why do I try to run ahead of him by fearing what I might lose? Why am I afraid of what I may not have when God has already given what I didn't know I needed? Because God met our greatest need before we saw it, we can trust him with what we cannot see. Tomorrow is a mystery to us, but it's not a mystery to him. That's why the question we ask isn't, what if I don't have what I need later? The question we ask is, how can I be faithful today? We can't change our past. We can't predict the future. Those are the things that belong to God. The territory God has entrusted to us is the present. If he gives us a glimpse of what's coming, it's so that we can prepare today for what's coming tomorrow, and that's grace. But if he doesn't, there's no need to worry. His grace will be there for whatever comes our way. Our job isn't to stress away lack, because it doesn't work. Our job is to be faithful with today, trusting that God's grace will be there tomorrow. There will be disappointments. But each day, especially on fearful days, I have to choose to expect God to show up in great ways in my life, in my family's lives, and this church's life. And although I know there will be disappointments and hurts in all of our lives that I wish we could sidestep, I also know that tomorrow will not be better if I fear it more. The best way to fill up is to pour out. The best way to multiply is to break. Math in the kingdom of God does not have a just-in-case function. Proverbs 11:25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. The way for Christians to take care of tomorrow is to live all out today. That doesn't mean we're foolish. It doesn't mean that we act like we're limitless because we are super-duper not. It means that we're faithful today, as faithful as we can be, because we know that there will be new morning mercies tomorrow. We're not going to run out of God's grace and mercy. There's grace for each and every step that we take. We don't live just in case. We live with hope that the greatest thing can never be lost. God's grace covers the past, the present, and the future. And if we believe that, it gives us a whole lot of freedom, a whole lot of joy, a life free from fear of what we may lose, a life defined by God's generosity to us that stretches into every tomorrow, ready for every contingency. Because there's nothing he doesn't see coming. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.